You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, folks. I just finished a videotape today. It's a tape of a talk I did in Lansing, Michigan a few years back. And it's now ready. It's probably one of the best talks that I've ever given to an audience in my whole life. I've shown it twice here on Round Valley Television, Channel 15, and lots of people called and said that they really enjoyed it and asked for copies. So I edited a master, put it together, and it's now ready. So if you'd like to have a copy of that, it's $25, $25, and you can get it by sending cash or a blank money order as a donation to 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's $25 in cash or a blank money order as a donation to 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. One more time for all those of you who are running around the house trying to find a piece of paper and a pen. It's $25. And just call it Lansing, L-A-N-S-I-N-G. Just call it Lansing. Say you want the Lansing video. Lansing video. 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925, and that's $25. Well, I have been really busy. I had one of those brainstorms, and no, it wasn't weather control. Nobody seeded the clouds. I had a brainstorm, all of my itty bitty lonesome self, because I dared to sit down and have an original thought. Something that most people never do in their entire life. It's just incredible. If you can do that, you don't need dope. It's an incredible high just being able to have your own original thought. Try it sometime. Because I'm not kidding, man. You can, and if you're on dope, you can throw that stuff away once you start to learn how to think for yourself. It's an incredible feeling, I got to tell you. But I was examining once again the Apollo space scam. Oh, yes, I was. I was examining once again the Apollo space scam. And I was trying to figure out how to more adequately and convincingly show the people of the world that indeed it was a scam. It is so obvious to people who have studied lighting, photography, lots of other things. I mean, there's so many things wrong with all of the things that they've shown us and given us to convince us that they went to the moon in the Apollo space program, that it's incredible that anybody still believes it. But a lot of people do. And so I'm constantly looking for new ways to show them that it just didn't happen. Now, I'm not saying that we never went to the moon, because I don't know if we ever went to the moon or not. I just know and can prove that we never went to the moon in the Apollo space program. It didn't happen. At all. And so I was sitting and thinking about all of the things that I have about the Apollo space program and how I could utilize that in order to show people that it didn't happen. And all of a sudden, I had a brainstorm. And I'm going to tell you guys all about it. Thank you. hail, hail, rock and roll. But the most important part of that song is that screw those. That's what it's all about. That's what I'm about to give you. When I first began to discover what I'm going to tell you about, my first inclination was to shut my mouth about it, because they're cure for this. They're cure for it, because it's going to destroy NASA. No doubt about it, so that's why I'm going to tell the world about it right now, even though I know some people will exploit it and use it and never even give me one mention of credit about it. I don't care, because it will destroy NASA. It will destroy the whole scam of the Apollo space program, this whole lie. I have something called a broadcast video processor that we purchased for our television project, thanks to your donations. It's an incredible piece of equipment. Well, I was sitting thinking, what do we have that we can present to the American people and convince them, I mean, prove to them that NASA lied about the Apollo space program and that the videos are fake? And I was sitting there thinking, well, really, you know, all we have is what they gave us. Pictures, photographs, film, and videotape. And as soon as videotape hit my mind, so did broadcast video processor. Because with a broadcast video processor, I can, without digitizing the footage, in other words, keeping it analog, without digitizing it at all, I can change the luminance, which means, ladies and gentlemen, and it occurred to me very swiftly that I can see through the background. In other words, if they're filming this in studios, I can eliminate an awful lot of the black and create luminance in the background where it's not normally there. And if they were doing this with professional photographers who were telling them that, you know, it doesn't matter what's in the background, if you film it at a certain AFA, they'll never see it. Because normal people don't have the capability on their television sets to put luminance in the background. But I do. And so I have, I don't know how many hundreds of feet of thousands of feet, how many couple hundred of NASA videotapes and videotapes that were made from NASA footage in analog format. See, as long as we don't digitize it, what you're going to see is going to be real. If we digitize it, then nobody could ever prove that what we're showing you is true or false, because you can see anything with digitized footage on a computer. But we have analog. Straight from NASA. And we can put it through our broadcast video processor and eliminate the black, put luminance in the background, and we can see what's back there. So if they're really in space, we'll be able to see if there's stars there, even though in the normal video, stars don't show up. We'll find them if they're there. And if they're in a studio, we'll find the wall, and the roof, and the girders, and the lighting, and all of these things. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you see, once I get this out in the public, it won't do them any good to come up here and blow me away over this. Because now you all know how to do it. You all know how to do it. The whole world knows now. I just told you how to do it. It's called a BVP4 Plus broadcast video processor. And what you can do with it is amazing. You can take terrible-looking videotape and make it look like it's brand new. and I knew Ben. You can take the original NASA footage and you can get rid of the black background and put luminance back there, and you can find out whether they were really in space or not. And I'm going to tell you right now, what I've been finding is absolutely the most incredible stuff you've ever dreamed of in your life. NASA, you're a history. You're the biggest stinking liars that the world has ever known. Because over the last couple of days, I have been delving into the depths, shall we say, of your deception. What I've found is absolutely incredible. I have found that some of the supposed footage taken in space was actually taken in space, and there are real stars back there. But this footage is always footage that you cannot tell where it came from, so it could have been taken by some kind of a hardware thing, like a probe, or a satellite, or maybe Voyager or something. Who knows? I don't know. Or some of the lunar orbiting craft that were unmanned. But whenever you can absolutely tell that it's supposed to be a manned mission in the Apollo space program, you can't find stars in the background anywhere. But there's other stuff there. Oh boy, is there ever. In one of the scenes, they're on the moon and they're filming the Earth. And the Earth is real big and it's glowing and it's just beautiful. And it's just a black background of space. And as soon as I take the black out and put luminance back there, guess what I find? A smaller model of the Earth with all the brilliant blue of the oceans and the white of the clouds sitting on a pedestal next to the bigger that appears in the picture that you see in the video. It's incredible! And there's other ones where you can see the buildings going past the roof of the studio, and I gotta tell you folks, if you're with NASA and you're listening to me, you better find another job here through your history, and when the rest of the world that's listening to this broadcast starts duplicating the research that I've already done, because I'm never going to get another nickel of funding in your miserable, lying, stinking little peak-faced government deception lies.
Ah. And it's always been there, right in front of our nose. But you know, we never needed that. Intelligent people can look at the pictures that NASA gave us that were supposedly taken on the moon, and you can tell that they're fake. With not much coaxing or knowledge at all, if you just use your brain. But it's just incredible that all these years, it's right there in their own videotapes. Whether they took it with a movie camera, or with a still camera, or with videotape, remember that these instruments register whatever they see. And if you know how to manipulate the luminance of the image, you can see things that you were never meant to see, that you weren't supposed to see, that they didn't believe at the time that you could ever see, because at the time they made these videotapes, there was no such thing as a BVP4 plus broadcast video processor. It didn't exist. And so they never dreamed that I could put a videotape, an analog videotape that NASA created and made from their own video footage, into a VCR, put it through the BVP4 plus broadcast video processor, manipulate the luminance of the image and see what they've been hiding all these years in the background. And the astronauts said they could never see stars while they were in space. Well, with some of the footage, I can see the stars. And in some instances, planets. But it's never in footage where it's a recognizable part of a manned spaceflight. It's like stock footage from somewhere, but you don't know where it's from. You don't know who took it. There's never any people in the picture. It's never a recognizable picture out of a window of any spacecraft or anything like that. And so that makes me think that wherever they could, they used footage they had from unmanned space probes that can survive the intense radiation of space, whereas man cannot. And that's the biggest reason why the Apollo space program never happened. Man cannot survive the radiation of space and what we pretended to send them into space inside of, or get out and walk upon the moon in the full glare of all of the radiation of space, cosmic rays, X-rays, the solar wind from the sun, and all of these other things. Man just simply could not exist. Couldn't possibly survive at all. Period. End of subject. That's it. But you see, people don't want to believe that because they, well, what do you mean? They couldn't survive in all the radiation. We know they went to the moon. How do you know that? Well, I saw it on television. Really? I mean, you also saw Good Times on television. Do you believe that, you know, there's really a family like that? And you saw Sanford and Son. You saw Lucille Ball show on television. You saw, here's a real good one. You saw Star Wars on television, didn't you? Yeah. Well, do you believe that it was? Oh no, that wasn't real. How do you know? Well, because I read a magazine article that it was made in Hollywood. But if you never read the magazine article, would you believe that it was real? Well, that's an interesting question. I don't really know. It was very convincing. I mean, all of the characters looked real to me. But I saw the Apollo space program. I was watching when they landed on the moon. Oh, my goodness gracious. Isn't it incredible how absolutely gullible we are? You see, if you watched it on television, it couldn't possibly have not occurred. Even in the face of all of the evidence that proves that it could not have occurred, people were still staying. Well, I saw it on television, so I know it really happened. Really. Yes, really, I thought of, why would they lie to us? Well, that's a good question. And that's a question that deserves, why would they lie to us? Well, if you read the report from Ryan Martin, they'll tell you rather than why they would lie to us. After John Lewis said it, way back in 1917, to the Japanese Imperial Delegation at a dinner in New York 17. In New York City, I should say, in 1917, he said, the best way to unite all humanity in a one world government and do away with wars forever would be if we were attacked by some of the species from some of the planet. That's what he said. I didn't make it up. And, but before you can get a lot of people to believe that there are other species from other planets are visiting the Earth, when we are such an advanced civilization according to our own standards,
camera to be possibly get here from the nearest star systems, which are like several light years away, which means that they would have to travel, for instance, if it's 4 light years away, they would have to travel at 186,000 miles per second squared. For 1 year, for 4 years, to get here. Now, let's say it was just 186,000 miles per hour. How long would it take them at the distance, from the distance of the nearest star? It would take them, way beyond their lifetime. That's why the express distances between stars and light years. It takes a year for light to get from point A to point B. If it takes 4 light years for light to get from our nearest star to our solar system, that's traveling at the speed of light for 4 years to get here. Now, for people to begin to comprehend this, and even to start to believe that extraterrestrials could travel across this great expanse and get here, you would have to answer the question, and here's the question, at our stage of development, with all the technology we have, if extraterrestrials could travel across the universe, how come we can't even get to our own moon? When people actually thought that we got to our moon and believed that we were there, didn't it make the world seem a lot smaller? And didn't the pictures of the so-called pictures of the Earth from the moon, does it look like we lived in a very tiny, little place? And wasn't that during the time that air travel was bringing the world closer and closer together? And the United Nations was clamoring for more information and influence over the affairs of sovereign nations, which they're now exercising pretty much. And so man started looking around and said, gee, who speaks for planet Earth? Iraq? Saddam Hussein? Come on, guys. There's lots of reasons why they would want to pull this off. And I will tell you, they pulled it off. They really did. And we're going to put together some videos that are going to just blow your mind away. And once again, I want to tell you, if you're working for NASA, find another job. You're history. You're down the tubes because we have finally got the definitive proof. Yep, we can now purchase a NASA video. And I can stand in front of a video camera with a shrink wrap NASA video right straight from the source, open it right in front of your very eyes, shove it in a VCR, and show you that video, exactly how it came to us, and then play it again, and show you what we can bring out of the background of the video that you never even dreamed was there. That's pretty heavy stuff. And as soon as I figured out that I was doing it, I made a few phone calls and talked about it over the telephone. I thought, I made a big mistake. I talked about it over the telephone, and these phones still might be tapped. Therefore, to protect myself and to get it out into the public so that other people can duplicate this research, I'll have to talk about it on the air, and that's what I'm doing tonight. So, if you're one of the fed, doop, dumbass, dirt, ninja, teenage, Gestapo, jackbooted, criminal, thug, despot, murdering, killer, persecutors, it's too late. I already told him how to do it, and there's a lot of them out there who will. So, you missed your chance. You see? yeah, I don't know by now, but if you were listening on the phone, you should have hit me right then, as soon as I hung up, but you didn't do it. So, everybody at NASA used to listen to the hour of the time. It was driving them crazy. Because I would get on the air and I would prove to the audience, and these are classic broadcasts of the hour of the time, but it was absolutely impossible that man ever went to the moon and was part of a space program. And it's caused them a lot of habits and problems and funding problems. Because, you know, a lot of people in Washington, D.C. listen to this broadcast also. You would be amazed at who listens to the hour of the time. Rush Limbaugh listens to the hour of the time. The White House listens to the hour of the time. The CIA listens to the hour of the time. The FBI listens to the hour of the time. They all listen to the IRS, for sure. They all listen to the hour of the time. Very prominent people listen to the hour of the time. Lots of politicians listen to the hour of the time. Lots of famous people in Hollywood listen to the hour of the time. And while we're on the subject of Hollywood, thank God for Mel Gibson. Have you seen the movie Patriot? Well, I haven't seen it yet. But it is a defense of the right to keep and bear arms. It's a defense of patriotism. It's all about why, if you want to be free, you have to be ready to die for it. It's about the fact that if you want to be free and you're in the midst of a war, you've got to take your children and show them how to use guns and give them guns and let them use them. Thank God for Mel Gibson. Thank God for Braveheart. Thank God for patriots. And even though conspiracy theory was a little bit hokey, In the end, it upheld the fact that there are conspiracies. Really terrible, bad conspiracies. So Mel Gibson, if you're listening, thank God for you, Mel Gibson. And thank you for these series of motion pictures that you are presenting to the public, not only of this country, but of the world, that opens people's eyes to reality. And to the reality of the fact that compromise enslaves you, that individualism initiative, the willingness to die for what you believe in, can set you free. Thank God for Mel Gibson. Should I write him a letter and say, thank God for Mel Gibson. Thank you for Patriot. Thank you for Braveheart. Thank you for Conspiracy Theory. Thank you for not compromising your ideas and principles. I can't wait to see Patriot. Can't wait to see it. I am so fired up to see that movie that I hope it's not a letdown because of that. I don't think it will be. From everything that I've heard, everything that I've seen written, the criticism of the movie by the extreme left gun grabbers, I already know they did a great job. So, let's see it. Revel in it. Send Mel Gibson a letter. Tell him that you appreciate his stance for freedom. Because that's what these movies are all about. They're for freedom. They're for initiative. They're for principles and ideals. The willingness to die for what you believe in, and thus stand a chance of actually living. Isn't that amazing? I think it's absolutely amazing. And, you'll notice that a lot of these movies he has to put his own money into, because they don't get financed in the other way. So, think about that. I'll be back. We'll open the phones. And we will talk about all of these things.
I was born to make you happy. I think you're just my son.
Well, that didn't work. The old CD players, whatever they are, they just skipped. And it just didn't just skip, it skipped like over 3 tracks to start up and another one almost instantaneously. 520-333-4578 is the number. The phones are open. We'll be taking your calls for the rest of the hour. 520-333-4578 is the number. And while we're at it, I have the videotape from my Lansing, Michigan talk. If you'd like to have a copy, it's $25. It's probably one of the best talks I've ever given to an audience. I'm really, really pleased with the message that's contained in that videotape. If you'd like to have a copy, it's $25 donation. Send it to 101.1 FM, PO Box 940, Eager, spelled EAGAR, Arizona, 85925. 520-333-4578. Phones are open. We'll be taking your calls for the next, 15 or 20 minutes. Something like that. Good evening.
You're on the air. Hello. Hello. Goodbye. Well, I don't know what that was all about.
520-333-4578 is the number. I can tell you one thing right now. I'm going to get rid of this. So I shall return momentarily.
Oh, great. Thank you, sir, for letting me be in your real studio. It's a genuine thrill, sir. Could I trouble you with one request?
Sure thing.
No synthetic sound, please. I want all live musicians.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I just wanted to say that I think we really live in a sad time whenever there's just so much deception and so much deceit everywhere.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But, you know, I've been telling people for years and years and years that this is the age of deception.
How true it is. I mean, that's the absolute truth. I know that there's always been deceptions and there's always been conspiracies and so forth and so on, but it just seems like now it's just much more prevalent than ever before.
Yeah, well, it's the nature of man. And maybe we realize that it's so much more prevalent because maybe it's not that much more prevalent. Maybe it's just because we, the common man, have a much greater access to information than we ever had in the history of the world.
That could be very well true.
And you see, a peasant working on a farm never had the capability to find out what was really going on anywhere.
This is true. I think that's, that right there just speaks volumes about keeping the Internet free.
Yeah, really.
You know?
Untaxed and free and available to everybody. But we all know that's not going to happen. They created it so that they could ultimately bring the Internet and television together, and radio, Internet, television, and radio all together into one medium, and that eventually everything will flow through this one network so that they could actually eliminate information, create other phony information, put libraries online, and when you look at a digital book, you can't tell what's been changed in that book or what was in the book when it was originally published. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the whole intention of the Internet, is to ultimately bring absolute and total control of all information and the flow of that information under the despotism of the government.
It would seem so. It would seem very possible.
Well, we're going to find out. You know, I could be wrong, but one thing I can tell you for sure, we're going to find out.
I'm going to trust you for that. Yeah, I'm going to trust you for that, Bill. Well, have a good evening, and I appreciate your broadcast.
Thank you very much.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you for calling.
God bless.
520-333-4578 is the number. And we're going to be taking your calls for the rest of the hour. What do you think about what you heard here tonight? Wait till you see on videotape what I've discovered. Wait till I get it all together. Wait till other people learn how to do this, because I just taught you all tonight and duplicate my research. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. I'm the guy who called the other night about the cancer incidence increasing with age. And the reason I'm calling back is basically to say that I did do some homework on the issue, and in the 14th edition of Harrison's textbook of medicine, it does confirm that according to them.
Well, I don't dispute that there's a greater incidence of cancer with age, but it depends upon where you live and what you eat and what's happening in the environment around you and all of those kinds of things, because cancer is pretty much an artificial disease that didn't exist a long time ago.
Right. I mean, it's certainly modified by other things such as smoking and, you know, exposure to radiation.
Absolutely correct.
And a variety of other things.
Sure. So the longer you live, the more of these things you partake of, the more your chance of contracting cancer is going to be.
Right. And I guess their point is that independent of other risk, or other environmental toxins that they can control for in their experiments, independent of all of those, there seems to be an increase in incidence as you get older. Whether that's just a cumulative effect of being older.
No, I think it's a product of the continuous absorption of low-level radiation ever since the dawning of the atomic age. That is going to be around in the environment, in the atmosphere, for many, many years to come, from all of the atomic testing that has occurred in the world before they managed to stop it. And I think that's what the cattle mutilation phenomenon is all about. I think it's a testing of the grazing animals of the effects of low-level radiation on them over a long period of time. If you look at the organs that are taken from these animals when they're mutilated, it is absolutely in line with exactly what a scientist would want to take. to test the results of radiation poisoning from a grazing animal in order to find out how that's affected that animal over the years.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Not a
It's a multifactorial process. Many things contribute to it.
Well, that's the theory. They don't really know to this day what really causes cancer. They know that if they take so much tobacco extract and inject it into mice, that they'll get cancer. But if, but if you look at how much of that tobacco extract they're injecting into those mice to make them get cancer, you'd have to smoke for 60 years to get that much in your system.
They don't do those kinds of studies with humans. What I'm saying is, when you look at people in retrospect, like, you know, you're a 60-year-old man, you never smoked, you're a 60-year-old man, you did smoke, and they try to control for all the other environmental things in their life.
Yeah, but you've also got to consider this, that they've been using, listen to me very carefully, they've been using the radioactive, low-level radioactive tailings from uranium mines and the byproducts of the Atomic Energy Commission's waste material as fertilizer in the tobacco fields. Did you know that?
Well, that would certainly be something interesting, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Anyway, if
and I was the first one to expose that in my book, a long, long time ago.
Yeah, I'm only on 200 years old.
And you know, it was just confirmed by independent researchers just about 3 years ago.
I'll have to look into that. Anyway, if that address you gave out earlier is an acceptable address, I can send you some information if you're interested. If you're not interested, I can, and if you get enough mail, I can hold off on sending it to you.
Yeah, go ahead and send it.
Okay.
And that's a good address for anything anybody wants to say. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. And we'll be taking your calls till the end of the hour. Good evening, young man. Hello?
Hello? Hello, there?
That's who you called, isn't it?
Yeah, this is Tim. How are you, Matt?
I'm good.
You're in a tremendous deal going on with this new cleaned up video. Will those be available to us?
Eventually, yes. When we get all the research done and we edit it into some videos with some narration to show you what we did and how we got it and show you how you can go out and duplicate it so that nobody will think we're lying to them or that we manipulated this stuff. And you can buy NASA videos right off the shelf and do it yourself.
They put a flag on a pole,
yeah, and they didn't have it sufficiently wired the first time they did it, and you could see it actually flapping in the little breeze or wind that was blowing through the studio that they were filming this in, and there's no atmosphere on the moon, they say, and so there you are, they're supposedly on the moon with no atmosphere, no wind, and no breeze or anything. There's the flag flapping in the wind. Well, you asked the wrong person. You need to ask an astronomer, somebody who's in charge of one of those telescopes.
Okay, Bill. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
God bless.
You too. 520-333-4578 for a moment. But it's not the fact of whether there's a flag up there. They can put a flag up there with a robot. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Chris from Kalamazoo.
Hi, Chris from Kalamazoo.
I was very interested in my last caller about the shot from any of the telescopes showing the flag. That'd be an interesting thing.
That would, but it wouldn't prove anything. You put a flag on the moon with a probe.
Right.
You can put a robot up there that reaches in and pulls out a flag and sticks it in the sand and crawls off and goes somewhere else or disintegrates or takes off and goes and visits Jupiter, or even if it just sits there. So, you know, you're looking for the wrong thing to prove whether or not man went to the moon.
Okay. One other question that your information raised today, I'm really excited about your forthcoming information, your video possibly. Does any of the Apollo mission astronauts ever come forward with any information at all?
Information about what?
About them not going to the moon.
No. No, never. Well, could you imagine them doing that? Could you imagine after basking, after participating in ticket tape parade with millions of people throwing confetti at you and making speeches all over the world and basking in this fame and glory? Could you imagine one of them ever having the balls to come out and tell the truth?
Maybe.
And they're all Freemasons, by the way.
I didn't know it.
Yes.
I was not aware of that.
Yep, it's true. But Neil Armstrong, and we have a photograph of Neil Armstrong on the moon holding his Masonic apron in front of his spacesuit.
Okay. Well, I appreciate what you do, and thank you for doing it as long as you've done it.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of you missed a lot of years of broadcasting. I mean, we really did some really in-depth, heavy-duty reporting and documenting of all of this stuff over the years that most of you never heard. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. My name's Steve. I'm from Rhode Island.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Do you work for NASA?
No.
Oh, I was just going to warn you to get another job.
Well, thank you. I'm a little hesitant to say what I'm about to say because the information might not be factual, but...
Well, as long as you say that. In fact, I would ask you to go one step further. Tell the listening audience that this is a rumor unless it's proved to be fact, and then go ahead and say what you got to say.
Okay.
As long as you tell the truth, I don't mind it. When you get on and try to promote rumor as fact, that pisses me off.
Okay.
Well, okay?
Okay, this is sort of not in the realm of rumor. This is, okay, let me explain. About, well, I'd say maybe 3 weeks to a month ago, I was up right watching the Conan O'Brien show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guests was Buzz Aldrin.
Uh-huh.
And Conan was talking with him about, you know, of course the moon landing, he said, and of course Conan was a young boy at the time. He said, I remember staying up late and watching, you know, the men on the moon and so forth. And I could have sworn, this is the part that I'm not sure if I was hallucinating the whole thing, or this is what he actually said. But after he said it, I don't believe it. I could have sworn Buzz Aldrin started to say, well, you weren't seeing a movie or a video, I don't know how he phrased it, of the actual moon landing. What you're seeing was a simulation. And then Conan started to talk about something else, and he sort of dropped at that. And I thought to myself, did he just say what I thought he said?
Well, if he really did say that, then he told the truth, because that's exactly what you're watching. That's exactly what you're watching.
Well, no, I know, you know, I've been listening to this for years, and I have a copy of the book, NASA Moon, you know, America and so forth, so I know.
But I didn't hear it. Why don't you, here's your homework project. You contact the Conan O'Brien show and see if you can get a videotape of that night when Buzz Aldrin was a guest. And if you can get it, send it to me, and I'll play it on the air. And if he really said it, then the whole world is going to hear it. And we'll give you full credit for it. Well, that's the way to find out, and that's your homework project. You can do it.
Yes, I can.
Yes, you can. So do it. Okay?
Okay. I
will. Wonderful.
That's all I have to
say. Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Now, we're going to find out if he really does it, folks. The ones who usually do their homework projects are women. Men, usually, we never hear from them again. Every once in a while, a man will actually perform a homework project assigned by me on the hour of the time. But hardly ever does that happen. Usually when a homework assignment is actually carried out and carried through and actually accomplished, it's done by women. Now, don't ask me why that is, and don't call me up and tell me tomorrow that I'm sexist or I'm anti-male or any bullshit like that, because I'm telling you the truth. Whatever it means, It's the truth. 520-333-4578 is the number. And those of you who have been listening to this broadcast for years, you know it's the truth because you have experienced exactly what I've experienced. Isn't that amazing? Well, I think we just ran out of time, by golly. So, let me see. What am I going to do for the shuffle after? I think I'll do something raw, unexpected. I don't even know what it's going to be. I can tell you it's on the 200 CD turntable here. And that's what we need. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. And good night, Alan, Pooh, and Allison. I love you.
You are the sunshine of my world. That's why I'll always be around you.
Perfect.
You are the apple of my eye. Ever you stay in my heart. Be right this year for the evening. Cause I've loved you for a million years. That's why I'll always be around you. You are the apple of my eye. And will you stay in my heart? Because you came to my rescue. And I know that this must be heaven. How could there be so much love inside of you? You are the sunshine of my life. That's why I'll always be around you. You are the apple of my eye. Ever you stay in my heart. Forever you stay in my heart. Forever you stay in my heart. You are the sunshine of my world.